Y'all enjoy that? Say amen. Hallelujah. What a blessing. Take your Bible and turn to James chapter number 4 tonight. James chapter number 4, right after the book of Hebrews. James chapter number 4. And we'll bring a simple little thought tonight I hope will be a help to you. Matter of fact, I don't know why we often say that. I hope it'll be a help to you. I know it will, yeah, if you'll get it. Amen. Yeah. And it's not me that'll help you. It's the Word of God. Yeah. Amen. In of myself, I'm not a whole lot, but this Bible is, amen? Yeah. It's the very words of God, and I believe if we'd listen to God sometime, He could help us, amen? Yeah. Tonight, I wanna touch on a subject, and I'm going to deal with a verse, and we hear the first part of the verse. I think I'm going to do a little study one of these days on all these verses that we hear quoted in part, over and over and over again. A lot of people quote a lot of verses, they quote the first part and leave the last part off. But a lot of times the first part is dependent on the last part. Are you listening to me? The first part is dependent. And this verse we're going to deal with tonight, the first part is very much dependent on the last part. And as soon as I begin to read the verse, I guarantee you most of you can quote the first part. I guarantee you can. Look at James chapter number 4 and verse number 8. How many of you know the first part of that? Draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you. How many times you heard that? If you've been saved very long, you've heard that verse over and over and over. But did you know that's not the whole verse? Do you understand that? I don't think I've ever heard anybody in their preaching quote that verse, and I've done it myself. Draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. Is that so? Yes. Sure it is. But there is another part of that verse, isn't there? Amen. Amen. It's not real popular. That's why it doesn't get quoted a whole lot. He said, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Tonight, if the Lord will be our helper just for a little bit, I want to preach the whole verse. Amen. Amen? Draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. How many of us want and need God near us? Yes, amen. I do. I need God's presence. I need God's power. I need God's wisdom for my marriage. I need God's wisdom for raising my children. I need God's wisdom for making financial decisions. Every area of my life, I need the presence of God. How about it? Amen. I need God to walk with me and to be with me in everything I do. And sometimes as Christians, I'm afraid. I know He said He'd never leave us and He'd never forsake us, and He won't. But sometimes He seems a million miles away, doesn't He? Amen. Amen. Sometimes that's His choosing to teach us to depend on Him. But I'm afraid a lot of times it's our fault. Amen. Amen. We're going to look at this just for a few minutes tonight. The subject of James chapter 4 and verse number 8 is fellowship with God. Are you listening? How many of you knows what fellowship means? Come on, y'all, talk to me a little bit tonight. The more you talk to me, quicker we'll be done. Fellowship is what Stacy and I have together as friends. Fellowship is what Brother Freddie and I have together. You know what we do when we get together? If it's me and Brother Freddie or me and Stacy or whoever, you know what we do? We cut up and we laugh, don't we? We enjoy that. We pick at one another constantly. Are you listening? That's how we get along. That's how we enjoy our fellowship together. We're in the same hunting club down there, and we love to come out of the woods and just sit around the fire, and we'll just sit there and yak and yak and yak and yak and yak. That's fellowship. That's just being, enjoying being in one another's company. You ever met somebody you just like to be around them? Rusty Adams. I don't know why. I really don't. But I love to be around this guy. He's a idiot, thank you, idiot, a nut. Okay, nut's nicer than idiot, right? It means the same thing, brother, amen? But Brother Rusty, he's just fun to be around, is that right? And I enjoy being around him. And that's what we call fellowship. There are people that you enjoy having fellowship with, is that right? Now, let's say, Brother Stacy, I have a key in my pocket, to his brand new camper down on our hunting club. Somebody said, "Brother Eddie, you going to buy a camper?" I said, "No, Stacy's got one and I got a key." Amen. I got a key in my pocket. Now, let's say I go down to the hunting club tomorrow night and I use Brother Stacy's camper while he's off working. He pays for the camper. He puts all the money out. He puts the insurance on the camper. He puts the food in the cabinets. Thank you, brother. He does all that stuff. Now, let's say I go down there and I abuse what belongs to him. I mean, I just take it for a... He said, "I'll abuse you." I just take it for granted what he's done for me, and I just leave it a mess, track mud all in the floor, stomp all over it, tear it up, leave the lights on, leave the gas running, whatever. Now, I wonder how good our fellowship is going to be the next time we're together. Because deep inside, even though he loves me as a friend, there is a problem between us. What I have done is I have offended him. Are you listening? I have offended him, and rightly so, by taking for granted his kindness, by taking for granted his charity, and that he just took something that he paid for, something that he is still paying for, something that he upkeeps and maintains, and he placed it in my care. And he said, "Make yourself at home." You know what? That's what Jesus did when he saved you. Amen. Jesus took something that he paid for, something that he maintained, something that's more precious than anything in the world, and he said, "Here, salvation's yours. A relationship with God is yours. Make yourself at home." But yet we trample on it. We trash it and bash it. Are you listening? Amen. And we wonder why sometimes God seems afar off. Amen. Have you ever got together with a friend and maybe you didn't even say it out loud, but you couldn't help but thinking, "What's wrong with him? He didn't seem to be his chipper self today. Wonder what's the matter with him." Could be you. Amen. Y'all all right? I wonder who he's mad at. Are you listening? We desire and need fellowship with God. But sometimes we wonder why God isn't near. I've thought about this a lot, and we're going to deal with it in this service tonight. I've thought about this a lot, and I've seen it all across the country as I preach around, preach all over the United States, and I see it in every church I go to. People respond differently to the presence of God. Everybody doesn't act the same. Some people shout, and I like it. Some people weep, and I like it. Some people get happy and laugh and clap, and I like that too. But Brother Freddie, some people do nothing. Absolutely nothing. You can be in a service where God is moving. People are coming to the altar. People are weeping and crying. People are shouting. People are clapping. People are just having a time in the Lord. And there's that crowd that sits there. They don't even know God's in the place. How is it you can set one pew apart and not feel the same presence and the same power that that person sitting next to you is feeling? That thing has bumfuzzled me. I mean, I've really given it some serious thought. I only come up with one reason. If God moves in on this pew right here, and Stacy's having a time, and Jason looks like he's been sucking on dill pickles and eating green persimmon, the difference is not in the Spirit of God. The difference is in the hearers of the Word of God. One wants and desires fellowship with God, and one could care less. One wants to hear from God. One wants a life change. One wants some help. One wants to get to Sonic and get a hamburger. I'm preaching where we live, where you like it or not. Somebody come looking for something tonight, and somebody else is just here out of duty. You could care less whether even I preach or not. You could care less whether or not we even open the Bible tonight. All you want to know is what time are we going to get out of here? Amen. That's why we come, and some people get help and some people leave just like they came. If you come to church and leave like you came, it's your fault. Matter of fact, many times it's your desire. Amen. You don't want God to speak to your heart. That's the last thing you want. It's for God to speak to you. Are you listening? We're going to look at this thing about having fellowship with God. When I was a kid growing up in church, and as soon as I became a pastor, we began to do it, and I thought, this ain't right. But we had conference every month. Y'all know what that is? That's a business meeting. Y'all don't be mad with me. Y'all don't be mad with me. Just how I felt. Now, I may be wrong, and if I am, God help me. I felt like it was a wasted Wednesday night. I really did. Rules of decorum. We would come in on Wednesday night prayer, conference meeting. More people showed up for conference than they did preaching. Amen. They would give a Sunday school report, a financial report, vote on how much toilet paper to buy, some of the stupidest stuff you ever heard of in your life. And split the church over. Amen. But they always began the service like this. Before they had to have a move and a second. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Had to have a move and a second to enter conference. Brother moderator, I'll make a move. We enter into conference. Second emotion. I mean, come on. Hey, you know, it's just so professional. Bunch of rednecks trying to act cool. Trying to act like they educated. Amen. That's about what it was, Brother Freddie. And here's the thing. Before they could enter conference, everybody had to be in peace and fellowship with one another. Come on, y'all, talk to it. Can I get a witness? If everybody be at peace and fellowship one with another, let it be known by saying any opposed. Nobody ever said a word. Bunch of liars. That's reason enough right there not to have conference. If you got to be in peace and fellowship, how can we be in peace and fellowship with one another when we're not all in peace and fellowship with God? Amen. I remember as a teenage boy sitting in the pew at our church and hearing all them people going, I thought, why don't you finish that sentence? I am a bald-faced liar. I hate so-and-so. I hope they don't shake my hand. Amen. What if we were to have conference tonight? And before we entered our conference meeting, our business meeting, say everybody that's in peace and fellowship with God, let it be known by saying I. You know what many of God's people do? They would sit there just like those folks did in all those business meetings in the past. I'm right where I ought to be with God. Everything's fine between me and the Lord. They would sit there and lie bald-facedly. I'm right about it. Yes, sir. Amen. I guarantee you if I asked everybody to raise your hand that spent, just came up with a random amount of time. How many of you spent such amount of time praying this week? Amen, brother. How many of you read your Bible? Everybody raise their hand. Bunch of liars. We would rather man be impressed with us than God be impressed with us. Let's look at this verse just for a few minutes tonight, and we're just going to pick through it tonight. I want you to notice the precept for fellowship with God. The precept for fellowship with God. Look at the very first part of that verse. What's the first two words? Come on, talk to me. What's it say? Draw nigh. To who? To God. Now, whose part is that? Here's what I'm asking. Who has the first move? I don't know how many of you played much checkers. I like to play checkers. I dare anybody in this building to play my wife. She cheats. I don't know how you cheat at checkers, but she has figured out a way to do it. I ain't never beat her. They say it's strategy is what it is. Somebody said, well, I like to play chess. Well, you go ahead. You hoity-toity thing, you. I don't even understand what it is, amen? I like checkers myself. They say that whoever moves first sets the strategy for the game. When it comes to our fellowship with God, God says it's up to you. If you want a fellowship with me, listen, you already know God's desire. You already know that God wants to be near you. Hey, He loved you enough to die for you. You know that God wants to have fellowship with you. So God says, here, let's just do it like this. You want to be near me? Come on. It's on our part. We must make a move toward God. Now listen, when you're lost, God makes a move toward you. Does He not? After we're saved, it's up to us whether or not we want a relationship or a fellowship with the Lord. I wonder how many of us spend quality time with the Lord. My favorite time is driving down the road by myself. I don't know why. I think it started as a habit. We're creatures of habit. I used to get up every morning and drive to work by myself in the wee hours of the morning. That was my time alone with God. No crying kids. No other distractions. It was just me and the Lord. And I'd pray, and sometimes I'd get to work, and I'd already cried so much, everybody thought my wife had left me. You know what that was? That was fellowship. And I had a desire for it, and I longed for it, and my heart yearned for it. Hey, sometimes as we get older as Christians, we get used to the fact that we're not having fellowship with God, and we've not heard from God. We don't depend on Him anymore. We don't need His touch. We don't need His power. We just go on and function like we know to function. Yeah. Amen. But God said, draw nigh to me, and I'll draw nigh to you. Yeah. Let's look at some scriptures tonight. Go to the book of Psalms. Book of Psalms. The Bible says a good bit about drawing nigh to God. Amen. Amen. I believe that's on our part. Yes, sir. Listen, I believe we are of the mindset in our independent Baptist movement, our Southern Baptist for that matter, we think God comes in an evangelist and a scheduled meeting every year. I'm sorry. That's not the quick fix. God blesses us as a church. He manifests Himself to us as a church. But God deals with us individually. Do you understand that? Well, it'd be great if the whole church drew nigh to God. Yeah. Well, what about you? Amen. What about you? When is the last time you said, God, I need to get closer to you? Yes. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Did He not? Amen. Amen. This will help you tonight, I know. Yes, if you'll listen. Psalms chapter number 16 and verse number 8. Psalms chapter 16 and verse number 8. Listen what the psalmist said. He said, I have set the Lord. That means you've put something in a place. Is that right? Yes, my wife has a word for it. I'll call it something else. I have OCD issues. I'm one of those people who there's got to be a spot for everything. Y'all know what I'm talking about? If something ain't where it goes, everybody's pointing at Stacy. Amen. I'm with you, sister. I understand. I've got a spot, and that's where that goes. That's where I set it. That's where I'll find it. Amen? You move it, I'm upset. The psalmist said, I have set the Lord. He has placed Him somewhere. He has found a spot in his life where God goes. Amen? Where was it? He said, I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Now just stay with me just for a minute. Where is the Lord in the psalmist's life? He's where He put Him. Where is God in your life tonight? I'm going to tell you, He's where you put Him. He may be in the closet at home. He may just be in the clothes you wear to church on Sunday and the Bible you pick up once a week. God is exactly where you've placed Him in your life. Do you realize, whether you realize it or not, do you understand that God has a priority setting in your life? And if I ask you, where is God in your life? Oh, He's number one. Is He really? Is He really? If He was, I wonder if we wouldn't see Him moving in your life a little bit more. We okay? So where's God? He's wherever you put Him. He's either right here ever before you, at your right hand, like the psalmist said, or He's somewhere when you need Him, you got to go hunt Him. Oh, where did I put Him? I wonder how many times, Brother Freddie, people call us and said, please pray for this, please pray for that. I wonder how much time they've spent. I mean, I don't mean to be critical, but I really do. I wonder sometimes. Because I see the evidence of people's lives and how they live and what's going on in and around their lives. And then they come to me, pray, 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 pray. Hey, you pray. Where's God in your prayer life? Don't stop coming to me asking for prayer. I don't mind. It helps me, gives me more to pray about. Amen? It doesn't bother me to pray for you, but it bothers me if you won't. Yes. Amen. Amen? God is wherever you set Him. Now listen, this getting close to God, it's not up to God, it's up to us. Psalms chapter 34. Psalms chapter 34 and verse number 18. Give you just a second to get there. The Bible said the Lord is what? Nigh. Y'all know what nigh means? It means close. Nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save to such of a contrite spirit. Who's God close to? He's close to brokenhearted people. You know what that means? Humble. Humble. People who realize they need God in their life. People who are not man enough to handle everything themselves, but we're really man enough to realize we need God. Amen. There's something to this thing about drawing nigh to God. Psalms 145 and verse number 18. I like this one. Psalms 145 and verse number 18. The Bible said, the Lord is nigh unto all them, I like this, that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth. The Lord is nigh unto all of them that call upon Him. What are you saying, preacher? All you got to do is ask. All you got to do is ask. What is this thing? What is this thing affecting? It's affecting our prayer life. Whether or not you're close to God depends on whether or not you pray.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen. I'm not talking about now I lay me down to sleep. I'm not talking about God is great, God is good. Let it, what, how's it go? Let us thank Him for our food. That don't even rhyme. Food. Let us thank Him for our food. Amen. I'm talking about being serious, seeking God's face.
Yes,
I'm talking about when God's people get on the ground and say, oh God, I need You today. God, I need Your power. I need Your presence. God, I need Your help. I've got decisions for my life. I've got a marriage and I've got bills and I've got children. Oh God, would You please be real in my life? Amen. I'm talking about fervent, effectual prayer. Amen. We okay tonight?
Yes, sir.
I like Jeremiah 23. You don't have to turn there. In verse 23. The Lord said, I am, or am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God far off? That's pretty good stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is He a God who's at hand in your life, or is He a God that's far off?
Amen.
Do you know you can be saved and God be a long way off?
Yeah.
Amen. Bible said in Acts chapter 17 and verse number 27 that they should seek the Lord if happily they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. Wow. That kind of carries the thought that God can be so near and you not even realize it.
Amen.
Are you listening? Ashley, she came out and sang. She's in the nursery tonight. She went back to work in the nursery. But when she was little, her favorite place in all the world was Walmart. She'd rather go to Walmart than Disney World. Matter of fact, that was one of her first words, Walmart. Honest for God. And we'd go to Walmart, and we'd walk in the door, and every time we got to Walmart, we'd say, Ashley, you stay with us. Ashley, don't wander off. What'd she do? She wandered off. So one night, I was fixing to snatch her up. That's a Greek word for get a grip on her. I was fixing to snatch her up and thrash her real good because she wandered off. My wife said, I got a better idea. Here we are, two grown people in Walmart, hiding in a rack of clothes. I'm serious. We crawled in a rack of clothes and was peeking out like that. Ashley got to walking around. She realized we wasn't nowhere to be found. We was right there. I could have reached out and grabbed her, Jason. She was going, Mama, Mama, Mama. And finally, Angie said, we're right here. Boy, she about had a heart attack then. Amen. God is never far away. It is us who are not looking for Him. It is us who have wandered out of His presence. Amen. My, my, my. Listen here. Psalms chapter number 73 and verse 28. The Bible said, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all thy works. He said, it's good for me to draw near to God. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 22. The Bible said, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us draw near to God with a true heart. The precept for fellowship with God is us to make the first move. You want God to be real in your life? You want God to be real in your marriage? You want God to be real with your children, your finances, every area of your life? Why don't you get closer? Amen. You know, if you and your wife is to have a lasting relationship, here in a couple of weeks, my wife and I will leave. Lord willing, we're going to try to get a flight out on Sunday night. She goes with me every year. I preach right near Washington, D.C. That's the week of our anniversary, so she goes with me. And we'll celebrate our 27th wedding anniversary. You say, how did you make it 27 years and it's still hot and you still love each other and you still date? It takes work. I just can't take it for granted that she's there when I get off the airplane. As much as I'm gone, my wife must really love me. Are you listening? It takes work. I've got to try and get close to her. Somebody said, you spoil your wife rotten. Yes, I do. I don't come home from nowhere that don't bring her something. She likes lotion. I know Bath and Body Works like the back of my hand. I'm serious, heart attack. I know where Bath and Body Works is in every airport in America. What are you doing? I'm trying to stay close to my wife. Yeah. Are you listening to me? And if I want to stay close to God, I'm going to have to make an effort at it. Yes, sir. Yes. You listening to me? I'm going to have to make an effort. You ever heard anybody give the old saying, you get an A for effort? Did you know God will bless your effort? Did you know, God always, when we have big visitation, we go out and knock on, last time? We knocked on like 4,000 or 5,000 houses in one day. I don't know if any of them come, but a bunch of other people did. Yeah. You know what God's doing? Bless their hearts. They're knocking on the wrong doors, but I'll send the ones that need to be there. Amen? He's blessing our effort. If you'll make an effort to get close to God, God will make an effort. That's the promise. We looked at the precept. Then the promise for fellowship is God will draw nigh to you. Amen. If He won't, He's lying. Amen. Amen. It's that simple. If you put forth the effort, you'll begin to see God work in your life. Amen. But there has to be a desire for it. And I'm afraid that's what's missing in our churches is that desire. That nearness, that closeness of God. Amen. Listen, I've had to preach in some places, and I'm going to say this as kind as I know how, where God wasn't. To where if there was any spirit working there, you had to manufacture it. Yeah. Y'all all right? Yeah. If the Holy Spirit began to move, it would scare the leadership to death. Yeah. Are y'all okay? I've been there. I don't want this to become that place. I know we have visitors sometimes and it scares them when it gets good in here on Sunday morning. I don't care. I would rather scare a visitor than bore them to death. I would rather somebody shouting happy and clapping and giving glory to God run a visitor off than a bunch of snoring. Amen. I'd rather run them off with the Spirit of God than a bunch of sourpuss faces that won't even shake their hand. Amen. Amen, brother. That's good preaching. Are you listening? I don't want to become that place. So we're going to have to make an effort individually, but we're going to have to make an effort as a church to draw nigh to God. And God made a promise. He said, if you will, I'll draw nigh to you. You want me to be close to you? Come on, show me how much you want it. That's what he's saying. Just show me how close you want me to be. Draw nigh to me. I believe what he's saying. Closer you get to me, closer I'll get to you. Let me show you. This is really how I believe this scripture works. Jeremiah, you stand right there on the end of that pew. Now you pay attention to the preacher, okay? Jeremiah is Jeremiah, and I'll be the Lord. Take a step, son. Can it be that simple? How close do you want to be to God? God says, you move, I'll move. You got a promise. Boy, that's getting a little close, isn't it? Some people are content with that. They get that close and God starts meddling. He's close enough now he can mess with everything in your life. He's close enough now he can say, that's a bad TV show. He's close enough now he can say, I don't like that station. That song doesn't glorify me. What is that you're thinking? And you know what we want to do then? And God says, uh-huh. Don't tell me that ain't how it works. I've done been saved long enough to figure it out. But boy, when we really get serious. Right there is where it's sweet. In that upper room, there was only one disciple close enough to do this. And that was John. They were all in the same room. But one had a desire to be a little closer than the rest. Y'all with me?
Yeah.
I believe, thank you, brother. I believe that's the precept of our or the concept of our scripture right there, Brother Freddie. Yes, if we'll make a move toward him, he'll make a move toward you.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Hey, listen, and when it gets real close enough to meddle in your life, close enough to where everything starts bothering you and convicting you, hey, don't let it scare you off. He just wants to help you. He just wants to make you stronger. He just wants to make you more spiritual. He wants to help you tonight. Don't let the presence of God scare you away. Isn't it funny how the presence of God scares us away, but the presence of the devil excites us? The very one who wants to destroy us?
Yeah.
We okay?
Amen.
There's a precept for fellowship, a promise of fellowship, but then there is a preparation for fellowship. This is the part that gets left out of our verse every single time.
Yes.
Next time you hear somebody quote it, I double dog dare you to finish it. Are you listening? He said, draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. And there is a period there. But it's not the end of the verse. He says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners. That's pretty strong language, ain't it? Joel won't say it, but the Bible will. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Wow. Who's he talking to? Talking to me. He's talking to you. He said, cleanse your hands, you sinners. What's he talking about? He's talking about getting clean.
Yeah.
And purify your hearts, you double-minded.
Yeah,
ow, 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 ow. I want God to be close. You do? I want God to hear my prayers. I want to see God move in my life. Really?
Yeah,
you might need to wash up.
Yeah.
We okay? You might need to wash your hands of what they've been playing with all week. We hit on sin a little bit this morning, but I believe sin's the root of the problem. There ain't but one thing stopping real Holy Ghost revival. It's sin. It's my sin. It's your sin. Amen. Unconfessed sin's a killer. We all right? We think as long as we got it hid, it's okay. Achan had it hid, didn't he? He dug him a little hole under his tent. I mean, man, here you have got gold and silver and some real nice clothes. Why you got to dig a hole and bury them? If it's such a fine thing, why you got to dig a hole and bury it? Because you know it's wrong. Amen. I wonder how many people have something hidden tonight. How many teenagers got something hidden in their room? You got anything hid over there, boy? Huh? They go through your room. That's good parents. I ever walk to a bedroom door in my house and it says, parents keep out, I'll take the door off. When you pay for it, you can hang whatever sign you want. Amen. You know what my mama used to do? Bless her heart. We can talk about her tonight. She ain't here. She's taking care of Granny Faye. You know what she used to do? Sister Angie, we went to different schools. And Sister Angie, I had a friend at school who rode the bus with her. And we would relay love notes. My mama would read every one of them. And she'd make little statements or little quotes out of the letters to let me know she'd been in my stuff. I'd be talking to Angie on the phone, hear Mama breathing on the other end. I said, Mama, you on here? Well, yes. Angie, I gotta go. Mama said, no, son, you ain't gotta hang up. Y'all go ahead, talk all you want. Just took the fun out of it, amen. Lordy, lordy, lordy. We want to hide things from God, don't we? Do you know what the Bible says? In reality, and I don't know why we don't get it, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, Proverbs said, beholding the evil and the good. We want to think God just sees all the good we do. God saw me as I taught Sunday school class. Oh, he must be proud of me. God saw me working that bus route. He must love me a lot. Hey, he saw you doing something else too. He didn't just see what you was doing. He saw what you was thinking. I don't know about you, but I have a bigger problem with that than I do anything else. When I'm praying, when I'm listening to preach, when I'm reading my Bible. Amen. You okay? Amen. If we want to draw nigh to God, we're going to have to come clean. Did you know that's the precept all through the, or the concept all through this Bible? That's the concept all through the Bible. Amen. Anytime God wanted to get near his people, he said, you got to get right. Is it 1 Chronicles 7:14? If my 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name would humble themselves and pray. Somebody finish that for me. Seek my face. There you go. Turn from their what? Wickedness, is that right? Then would I hear from heaven? And heal their land. Boy, there's a part in that we don't want to play. We don't mind seeking his face. We don't mind praying. We don't mind singing and shouting. We don't mind all that other stuff. But what about confessing our sin? What about getting right with God? Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. What about that part? I wonder how long it's been since you've really been clean before God. Some people get clean at salvation and that's it. Amen. Listen, he divides that up right there, and I'll finish with this. He talks about our hands, cleaning our hands, and our hearts. Now stay with me. The hands are the physical sins. We okay? The hands are the physical sins, but the heart is the inward sins. The sins of the mind, are you listening to me? The hands speak of actions. What we do. The heart speaks of attitudes. Amen. Amen. Oh, some people are in church every time the door's open. Some people do anything the preacher asks them to do, but they ain't got a good attitude. Amen. 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 I want to serve God with the right attitude. How about you? The hands speak of action. The heart speaks of attitude. My hands speak of my conduct, but my heart speaks of my contemplations. What do you daydream about? Give it some thought. You know your mind. Your hands testify or speak of your conduct. Who they testify to? They testify to God, firstly. But your heart testifies of your contemplations, your thoughts. Nobody knows your thoughts but you and God. You can hide your thoughts from your spouse. You can hide your thoughts from your parents. But you won't hide them from God. Here's the problem I see. I see people who, independent, fundamental, premillennial, that's a bunch of hogwash, man. Make me want to vomit half the time. Got all the rules. Well, bless God, we wear our hair above our ears. My wife don't wear pants. Yeah, but you watch porn on your computer. Bunch of perverts. Are you listening to me? They got all these rules. Bless God, you ain't right with God if you don't dress like me. Well, you're stupid. If you really believe that, you out of your cotton picking mind. I think the Lord's more concerned with what's in here. Amen. I believe there's a balance. I believe you can go too far either way. Amen. You know the preachers we see crash most often? Those that are too far right, so mean and legal, can't nobody stand to be around them, or so liberal, anything goes. Amen. That's the truth. We okay? God's interested in more than your actions. You can have a King James Bible that big. You can have a pocket full of tracts so far that they poke your chest out like that right there. That don't make you holy before God. You can have all that stuff looking right, impress, and most people, that's why they do it. They want to impress somebody. Amen. Dr. Jack Howells was one of my heroes. I don't care if you liked him or not, I loved him. Fallible, made mistakes, even said some things I disagreed with, but I loved him. I loved his discipline. I loved his character. But I remember going up there and visiting the Bible college. Sister Susie went to college there. Is that right? I love Dr. Howe. But I remember going to the college and visiting the college when I was just a young preacher. Everybody there looked just like him. He is bald-headed. And them boys do everything in the world to cut their hair just like him. Had horn-rimmed glasses just like him. And Brother Howes had a bad sinus problem. Whole time he was preaching, he'd say, well, the Bible says, I mean, he was all time clearing. If you ever heard him much, he was all time clearing his throat. You had 5,000 students walking around going, it's the God's truth, isn't it, Sister Susie? You know what I'm saying? Trying to impress somebody. Everybody wants to impress them, but look how spiritual I am. I sit on the front row. You can be as wicked on the front row right here as you can snuggle up to the bar up here in town. Y'all all right? It just run through my head. I can't help it, Brother Freddie. Every time that grocery store goes empty up there, I don't know if I'm coveting. I don't know what it is, but I'd sure like to have that place. Yeah. Brother Robbie said, well, there's a bar right next to it. I'd like to have it too. Yeah. That'd be a good fellowship hall, wouldn't it? We'd take the beer out. Well, I guarantee you sitting over in that sports bar right now, there's somebody just as saved as you are. Yeah. Right now, there's somebody sitting there tonight who loves God just as much as you do. You get an old drunk that's saved. You know what he talks about? He gets drunk and starts talking about the Lord. Amen. Oh, no, you say, that can't be. Oh, it is. The Bible said man looketh on the outward part, but God looketh on the heart. Quit trying to impress everybody. I don't care how sharp you dress, and I like to dress nice. I just do. I don't like to look like a bum. I like to shave. I don't like to, but I think it looks nicer, amen. But we all start worrying about, Lord, how do I look to you? I think God's like that full body scanner down at the airport everybody's pitching fit about. You step in that thing and it just pulls all the covers off. You all right? A big fat woman can go there through there with the girdle. Uh-huh. And them guys watching that screen's going. You can't hide it from God. Y'all all right? He knows, doesn't he? The hands speak of actions, the heart attitude. The hands speak of conduct, the heart speaks of contemplation. Listen, my hands testify of my manners, but my heart testify of my meditation. Holiness in both thought and deed are necessary for fellowship with God. If we want God to move closer to us, there is a prerequisite that we must clean the sin out of our lives.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. How long has it been since you confessed? I'm not talking about forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. It'd be a cold day in a boogeyman's house before I crawl in a closet. Look through a knot hole to a knot head. A father dressed like a mother. And tell him all my faults. It'd be my luck. One of my church members done snuck in there. Who's got Facebook. Stacy just grinning. I'm talking about with God. You say, well, God knows everything. Why come I got to confess it? He wants you to realize it.
Yes.
When your child is guilty of something and you know he done it, you still ask him, don't you?
Yeah.
Did you do that? Mm-mm, Daddy, wasn't me. I'm not going to ask you again. I'm going to give you the count of three and I'm going to start whooping. I'm sorry. You want them to be sorry.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And that's what God wants out of us. I want to have fellowship with the Lord. I want him to ride in my truck with me.
Amen.
If you ain't never had God get in a car with you, I wonder if you even say.
Amen.
I don't know. I think God just loves to ride. I really do, because I've had some of the best times of my spiritual life in a truck going down the road. Just wondering we ain't kill somebody. I'll never forget being in Atlanta going to a hospital one day, sitting at I'm downtown Atlanta at Grady. You ever been to Grady? You know what I'm talking about. And brother, I got snot flying and squalling. I'm just praising the Lord. And I looked over. I was at a red light. And I looked over at a little black girl sitting in the car going, Mama, look, Mama, look. And when some of them people around Grady's pointing at you, I want God to ride in the car with me. I want God to speak to my heart like he did when I first got saved. Y'all know what I'm talking about? When every little thing bothered you? Oh, I shouldn't look at that. Remember? That little word slipped out of your mouth and you went, Lord, I'm sorry. I mean, that fast. Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that. Now it's second nature. I remember working with a man. I had to be careful because I know there's folks here tonight who knew him. I remember working with a man. And kill it, cut it off. I remember working with a man for a long time.